three material elements, and then there's a spiritual element as well. That's us. Mamaivamso jivaloke jivabhuta sanatana manasastan indriyani prakritishtani karshati. The soul is an eternal part of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita. But, he says, now, at the present moment, manasastan indriyani prakritishtani karshati. Now we are in the realm of prakriti, and the soul is struggling with the different elements. So, in that verse in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna lists a few of the elements, but in the Sankhya philosophy presented by Lord Kapila, he gives a more extensive list of the different elements that make up our reality as we experience it in the realm of prakriti, the material energy. You know, the Lord has three principal energies. He has uncountable energies, but they're classified according to different systems. And a basic classification is the distinction between the spiritual energy, the material energy, and the marginal potency or energy. So, the spiritual energy is the energy by which Krishna manifests the spiritual worlds, the eternal spirit souls, his various expansions. And the material energy is the potency of the Lord that makes up the material realm, which is only part of the whole cosmic reality. Sometimes it's compared to like a little cloud that covers up a portion of the spiritual sky. So between the two is the marginal potency, which has, by exercise of its minute quantity of independence, is able to choose to exist either in the spiritual world or the material world. So this material world is made up of different elements. And the list of elements that's given in the Sankhya philosophy is different than the list of elements that's given by the atheist or the materialist or the physicalist, as they're sometimes called. They would say what all that really exists is the chemical elements, which they believe are made up of different types of atoms, which are made up of different subatomic particles, which are made up of what they call quarks. But whatever they are, they're simply the material elements that are listed in the periodic table of elements that physics students study in college or high school physics classes. So, but in addition to those elements, you know, oxygen, carbon, nitrogen, hydrogen, all the iron, gold, aluminum, all these different elements, there are other elements. In the Sankhya philosophy, there are the five Mahabhutas, the five principal elements: earth, air, water, fire, ether. And somebody might say, well, where are, you know, the elements of modern physics, you know, the oxygen, the hydrogen, the helium, all of that. Where is that? Well, it's in a sense actually included in those five elements, which correspond to different states of matter in modern physics. You know, they would say there are solids, liquids, gases, and there's space is the element ether. So those kind of correspond, you know, the five Mahabhutas, earth, water, air, fire, ether, they correspond to those different states of matter that are recognized by modern physics. So there are some parallels. But one thing that modern science fails to do is explain consciousness, mind, intelligence, and you know, how those things come from their material elements. They don't have any explanation. But in the Sankhya system, that is included. Actually, the material elements, according to the Sankhya system, they develop one after the other from sense objects. You know, they're the sense objects, taste, sound, touch, you know, all the material elements come from the sense objects, which are there in the beginning of creation. And not only the sense objects are there, the senses are also ingredients. You know, they're part of the kit of elements. You know, like if you get a kit for a computer or some other device, as sometimes has been done, if you don't have in the kit all the parts, you're never going to get the function of what you're trying to put together if you don't have all the parts. So it's like today's scientists are working with a kit that is missing a lot of the parts, so they can never put the parts that they have together in such a way that you get consciousness, sensation, all of that. It remains a mystery to them. And I know that for a fact because recently, a few weeks ago, a couple months ago, I went to a major international conference on the science of consciousness. And prominent scientists there admitted, we don't have any explanation for any of the things that we experience in the world. The taste of an apple, the color of an apple. We have millions of experiences every day, and we can't explain one of them. So how can it be said that we have a science of consciousness? But the Sankhya philosophy has all the elements, all the pieces of the puzzle, all the parts of the kit that are necessary to assemble an understanding of our actual position in this world. So there are the Pancha Gyanendriyas and the Pancha Karmendriyas, the five working senses and the five knowledge acquiring senses. The knowledge acquiring senses are the eyes for seeing, the ears for hearing, the nostrils for smelling, the tongue for tasting, the skin for touching, and the working senses are the voice for speaking, the arms for organizing, the legs for moving around, the organs of generation, reproduction, and the organs for evacuating waste products from the body. So it's an interactive system. We're getting knowledge from through our senses, and we're able to use our working senses to interact with the elements of the environment, the material environment, the little virtual reality system that Krishna has created for us. And in addition to those sense objects, you know, the five sense objects, the five Mahabhutas, you know, the five elements, and the 10 senses, that's 20 elements. Then there's mind, intelligence, and false ego. So that's 23. And beyond that, there's the soul, which we could call the 24th element. And it is the presence of the soul only that allows the whole thing, the whole apparatus, to be conscious. But if we're conscious only of the material elements and not conscious of the real self, the soul, and its relationship with Krishna, then it's false consciousness. We're involved in a fantasy conception of ourself and a fantasy world. And that never satisfies the real self. Prakriti kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvasaha ahankara vimudhatma kartaham iti manyate. Bewildered by false ego, one believes that the material body, which presents itself to our contaminated consciousness, is the real self, is the real doer. But nothing that is experienced on that basis is anything other than temporary and mixed with all kinds of unpleasant experiences. And this is why Srila Prabhupada is expressing the importance of knowledge in devotional service. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Bhaktya mam abhijananti yavanyaschasmi tatvata tatomam tatvato gyatva vichate tadanantaram. This bhaktya, by devotional service, what is the result of devotional service? That I am known in truth. Tatva means the real truth, not some false truth. Of course, the two things are contradictory. You know, it's just illusion. But the illusion of being the independent enjoyer of whatever exists in our field of consciousness is a truth. It's produced by the Sankhya elements, ultimately. Where consciousness is given the opportunity to either identify with a temporary, and in that sense, false body, and a temporary and false field of activities. False in the sense that it's temporary and ultimately unsatisfying, and it's not the real truth. So that kind of knowledge is required, and Kardama Muni is giving it. For many people in this world, under the influence of the ideas that are being promoted in the education systems all over the world, you know, they think that, well, we're just here in this world, don't know how we got here. Maybe we'll figure it out someday, how chemicals combine to form the first living thing. Obviously, it had to happen that way. We don't have it all figured out, but we will eventually do it. And we're just here with whatever's available to enjoy ourselves with whatever paraphernalia we can develop with our technology, with our understanding of matter. This is the result of the atheistic kind of Sankhya, which doesn't recognize the existence of the real elements in this, even in this material world. So it's like, you know, I've given the example sometimes. If you go, you're a guest in somebody's house, you wake up, you find yourself in somebody's house, and then you start using everything, you know, for your own purposes, without taking into consideration the owner of the house and the fact that you're just a guest. And you're welcome to use whatever the owner has allotted for your use. I mean, it's kind of just standard Ishvastami Dham Sarvam philosophy given in the Isupanishad, that we should be aware that everything around us in the material world is the property and energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that we're here as guests. We should be able to see everything in its proper relationship to the owner, and then use only what's allotted for us for our purpose. And what is our purpose? To become self-realized, to become God-realized, and in that way experience real relationships. Like Kardama Muni is experiencing a real relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And therefore, he's going to be completely satisfied. He's going to be completely fulfilled in all of his desires. His honor is going to be increased by his real relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And we're seeing his explanation of that here. How, yes, you appeared to me before. You promised something, and now you're going to give it, and it's going to be a great thing for me, my wife, my this whole world, really. So that is real relationship. In this material world, we experience only shadow relationships, phantasmagoria. Our concept of self is a fantasy. You know, we imagine, I am this material body, you know, born in 1948, and I am this, and I am that. In a short time, it's going to be gone. And for everyone in the material world, even Lord Brahma, with his lifetime of 300 trillion years, it's really just a flash. a short time in connection with eternity. And therefore, these shadow relationships that we develop in the phantasmagoria of the material world are not ultimately going to be satisfying. They aren't going to be fulfilling. But the relationship with Krishna, once that is awakened, the Krishna, I was reading in a purport from some verses earlier in the second canto where Srila Prabhupada was explaining that Krishna is the reservoir of and the ultimate source of all affectionate relationships. And he said in his purport, Krishna is the full, naked, uncontaminated object of affection. And the strength of that affection is a measure of the reality of the relationship, the reality of the connection of the soul with the Supreme Soul, Krishna. So once that relationship is established, I think it's interesting that he used the word naked. You know, that word is used by Srila Prabhupada many times in many senses to express the reality of something, the naked truth of material reality, the naked truth of our material desires. It becomes exposed when one begins to become self-realized. And and he also makes the point, it's but he says, like, if people want to enjoy sense gratification, they want to get naked. You know, it's kind of a crude example, but he gives it. He says, it's like if you want to enjoy your senses, your real senses, not the false material senses, you have to remove the material covering. Sarva padiva nirmuktam tat paratvena nirmalam rishikena rishikesha sevanam bhaktir uchite. So, sarva padiva nirmuktam, you have to remove the external material covering. Nitya siddha Krishna prema sadhya kabunai. The love for Krishna, prema, is eternally there in the heart. It just has to be brought out by the process of devotional service, which is accompanied by knowledge, real knowledge, like Srila Prabhupada's name, Bhaktivedanta. Yes, bhakti must be there, but not sentimentally. Vedanta, with conclusive knowledge, it has to be there. So we are followers of Bhaktivedanta, we want to cultivate devotional service to Lord Krishna, but with Vedanta, with full understanding, supported by knowledge coming from the Vedas. Vedeshtu sarvarahameva vedyo, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, by all the Vedas, by all the Vedic literatures, I am to be known. So I'll stop there. Brigapati Prabhu.
Thank you. You mentioned earlier in the talk about you went to the convention and the scientists were openly admitting they didn't understand. They didn't have a science for consciousness. So my question is, what's keeping them from accepting a body of knowledge which explains consciousness and is supported by a significant amount of empiric evidence, which they're probably aware of, and offers a process for internal verification? It's not just, you know, something they have to just accept and that's the end of it. What's preventing them from taking that step? And
science is a game that's played according to certain rules. You know, just like devotional service, you could say, is a game that's played according to certain rules. Their set of rules by which they carry out their scientific work includes the rule, you can't bring in any kind of supernatural control by God. You have to explain everything by matter operating according to known physical laws. And you can't bring anything in that is non-material, like a non-material soul, for example. Even though it will explain phenomena that you can't explain, they have, those are some of their rules. So, some effort, I believe, anyways, you know, that part of the effort has to be to expand their ontology.
Good morning. Can you talk a little bit about what you mean? What does it mean to explain consciousness?
Well, a factual thing that we all experience is that we're conscious. If I weren't conscious and you weren't conscious, we wouldn't be having this experience, right?
So is it similar to self-awareness?
Excuse me?
Consciousness, is that idea similar to self-awareness and perception of
consciousness is something that's self-evident. Can you tell that you're conscious?
Do you mean that you're not living an illusion?
Consciousness means like you have an experience. Like if you taste something, that's not just the, in other words, there's something unexplained there. According to science, when you're having a perception, say like if you're seeing something, just means that there are light waves of a certain frequency that strike the cells in the retina of your eye and get transmuted into an electrical signal that can be measured, that goes from the cells in the retina to the optic nerve. It's carried to certain visual processing parts of the brain, which become activated, and that can be detected by instruments. But that does not explain you're actually seeing anything. Because all that's there is electrical signals and chemicals. There's nothing.
Is there a question as to why do we want to explain consciousness as opposed to just accept it as a self-evident fact of life?
Anyways, I think we'll have to have a discussion aside from this because we're getting over the scheduled time for the class. But I'll just tell you that at the present moment, scientists themselves admit they have no explanation for consciousness. Conscious experience of colors, tastes, sounds, If you have an explanation, you can give it to me.
Hare Krishna, beautiful class. Just I wanted to say what I understand means here, if the scientists were to accept the consciousness, that means they have to accept the presence of soul. So what they would not do it. Soul, presence of soul also means acceptance of God. So they would not do it. Because Prabhupada says that soul is both conscious and consciousness. So
that's
when
right.
when we try to explain or understand consciousness from material platform, it is not possible actually. It comes from God to the soul, from soul to soul is consciousness. So the scientist cannot do it. That is my understanding.
Yes, it's very important what you said. I often say it myself. The soul is conscious and is consciousness. Srila Prabhupada said that, and that is the ultimate understanding. Where does consciousness come from? It comes from the soul. Without the presence of the soul, all the electric signals and chemical transformations may be there, but you won't have consciousness. And that's the problem that they're struggling with. They've been struggling with it. I mean, 50 years ago, or no, 25 years ago, I was at a conference where they said, you know, in 25 years, we'll have this problem completely solved. And now, 25 years later, the same scientists are admitting we still don't have it. They'll never get it.
Yeah, one thing is what is known as science in this world is simple science, actually. Spiritual science is our Krishna consciousness. So it's a different level of science. If the scientists accept this, that this is higher level of science, paravigyan, then they will understand their vigyan is dependent on paravigyan, I guess.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, there is a science of consciousness where consciousness can be experienced. Like if one takes up the process of chanting the Hare Krishna mantra seriously, then one can, it's like an experiment. You carry out the experiment and you see the result, experience the result. So if we do the experiment, then we can see. But it's like if you have one astronomer might be using an optical telescope to look at the sky. And he may see in a certain part of the sky nothing. But another astronomer using an X-ray telescope will look at the same empty, apparently empty portion of sky and see a source of X-rays. Now, the optical astronomer may be sitting there looking at the same piece of sky and see nothing. But the astronomer using the X-ray telescope may say, wow, there's a really fantastic object there. And the other astronomer may say, well, I don't see it, therefore it doesn't exist. And the other astronomer says, of course, you're not using the right instrument. You know, you won't see it using your optical telescope, but if you use the X-ray telescope, you'll see it. We said, no, I'm not going to do that. I only use my telescope. You know, so it's sort of the same thing. It's like we're saying, if you use the right instrument, the right procedure, you'll be able to perceive all these things. But no, 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 no. we're going to play the game according to my rules. So have to get them to change the rules. Hare Krishna. Sorry for going over time.